Today is Friday, March 29th. We're talking about a storm on the West Coast that could cause flooding this holiday weekend. And one of the presidential candidates just held what's being called the most successful political fundraiser in American history. But that record could be broken soon. Also, the man once known as the Crypto King found out how long he'll have to spend in prison for fraud. Plus, for the first time in decades, the U.S. government changed the way it collects data on race. And a group of college students was able to pull off a heartwarming surprise for a beloved security guard. Those stories and more news to know in today's episode. Welcome, welcome to The Newsworthy. All the day's news in around 10 minutes. Fast, fair, fun, and on the go. I'm Erica Mandy. Thanks so much for being here. You ready? Let's do this. California is bracing for a slow-moving storm that could bring flooding this weekend. Forecasts show it's set to come ashore in Northern California today, bringing heavy rain and even snow to some places. Then by tonight, it's expected to move south. So by tomorrow, meteorologists say rain and mountain snow will impact all of Southern California, and there's even a small chance of severe weather, while the northern part of the state still gets drenched. And the storms could stick around on Sunday, too. Some local flash flooding, rock slides, and mudslides are all possible. So people who are traveling for the holiday are being warned to leave themselves some extra time and expect some detours. Also, popular Easter egg hunts and other outdoor events have been canceled. One presidential fundraiser brought in more than $26 million yesterday, breaking the record for the largest haul ever gathered from a single event. And all of that money is going into President Biden's re-election campaign. One of the reasons it brought in so much is because it had a ton of star power. Former Presidents Obama and Clinton showed up to Radio City Music Hall for an hour-long discussion with Biden, moderated by The Late Show host Stephen Colbert. There were also performances by musical guests like Lizzo, Queen Latifah, Lea Michele, and many more. Top members of Congress and First Lady Jill Biden also spoke at the event. This record-breaking haul gives the president a bigger edge on former President Trump. Biden's campaign reported having $155 million in cash on hand at the end of last month, as compared to Trump's $42 million. But former President Trump says he's just getting started. In fact, his team says a fundraiser he's holding next week in Florida will easily outraise last night's event. Trump is inviting wealthy donors to his Mar-a-Lago estate, and guests are being asked to contribute hundreds of thousands of dollars a person. The Trump campaign has a fundraising goal of $33 million. Trump also brought in more than $1 million a day online this past week. Even still, Trump's team says it might not ever catch up to Biden, but insists it has enough and that the cash disparity won't stop their candidate from winning the election. To be continued. A federal court ruled South Carolina can go ahead and use a congressional map for this November's elections that it previously called unconstitutional and discriminatory to Black voters. The issue is the earlier ruling that it's unconstitutional and discriminatory was appealed to the U.S. Supreme Court, and that appeal is still pending. But South Carolina's primary elections are coming up in June, and early voting starts in May. So with little time left, the judges decided it's plainly impractical to make changes to the maps now. This makes a difference for South Carolina's first congressional district, currently held by Republican Representative Nancy Mace, who has the backing of former President Trump. With this latest ruling, it's believed she's more likely to win again. And that could make a big difference nationwide, since the balance of power in Congress is right on the edge and could tilt either Republican or Democrat next term. The aftermath of the Baltimore Bridge collapse has now become a salvage operation. The largest crane on the eastern seaboard arrived in Baltimore last night to help dismantle the wreckage of the bridge and free the massive cargo ship that crashed into it. Another large crane should arrive tomorrow. As of this morning, the ship is still trapped, and a crew of at least 20 people is still on board. Once it's finally freed, officials can work on reopening the port that handles up to $200 million worth of cargo on a typical day. The U.S. Department of Transportation says it's going to provide $60 million in emergency relief funding, with more likely on the way. Overall, the crash will likely lead to billions of dollars in liability claims. Marine insurance companies will be on the hook for much of that cost. And at a vigil yesterday, the city mourned the six construction workers who were killed when the bridge went down. And at the Orioles' home opener, three police officers who kept traffic away from the bridge were honored. Today kicks off an important weekend for Christians all over the world. Today is Good Friday, which is usually observed as a day of sorrow and atonement. Then Easter comes this Sunday, a time for celebration, church services, and processions. And of course, it can be a lot of fun for kids, too, with baskets full of candy, egg hunts, and visits from the Easter Bunny. Whether you celebrate or not, keep in mind, these holidays do mean a lot of places will be closed. Today for Good Friday, that includes most libraries and the U.S. stock market. Then on Easter Sunday, several national stores will be closed, like Target, Costco, Best Buy, Macy's, and Sam's Club. But plenty more will stay open, like Walmart, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, 7-Eleven, and Starbucks. More news is still coming up, but first, I'm so happy to be partnering with Vessi. We are about to get a lot more rain this weekend where I live. I'm glad to have the Stormburst Vessis in my closet because not only are they comfortable and easy to get on and off, but they are also waterproof, giving me the confidence that I can still adventure about in any weather and stay dry and warm along the way. Plus, they are really cute. I love the look. I love how I feel in them. In fact, they're so stylish, I wouldn't have expected that they're waterproof as well. And did I mention they're super comfortable? Maybe the most comfortable shoes I've ever worn. And that's important, especially if you're going to be wearing them hiking this spring like I hope to. Or just in general, I find myself looking for more times that I can go on walks or get outside because I love wearing these shoes. Don't let spring showers or unexpected weather keep you indoors. Equip yourself with Vessi's versatile shoes at vessi.com/newsworthy for shoes that combine waterproof protection with urban elegance. Start your journey with Vessi and get an automatic 15% off your first order at checkout. Go to vessi.com/newsworthy. Okay, now back to the news. For the first time in 27 years, the U.S. government is changing how it categorizes people by race and ethnicity. Advocates have been pushing for change for a while now, arguing the government's approach to asking about people's race and ethnicity is confusing or misrepresentative. The government is hoping to change that now by using a single combined race and ethnicity question. For the first time, there will be a category for people of Middle Eastern and North African heritage, and people will have the option to pick multiple categories. So, for example, Afro-Latinos will be able to select both Black and Hispanic. The changes also take out words that are now widely regarded as derogatory, and they get rid of the terms majority and minority. Demographers say this will all have long-term implications for civil rights laws, health statistics, and more. The changes will be reflected in any kind of data collection, forms, surveys, and once-a-decade census questionnaires. And typically, businesses, universities, and other groups follow the government's lead, too. The changes will roll out over the next couple of years. He went from billionaire crypto mogul to prisoner. It was the final step in the downfall of Sam Bankman-Fried. SBF, as he's known, was sentenced to 25 years in prison for stealing $8 billion from customers of the now bankrupt FTX cryptocurrency exchange that he founded. Prosecutors called it one of the biggest financial frauds in U.S. history. And at the sentencing hearing, the judge said SBF deserved 25 years because of the brazenness of his actions, his lack of remorse, and the possibility he'd commit future crimes. The judge also said SBF owes $11 billion in financial penalties. And he ordered the government to use properties and assets seized from him to compensate his victims. Prosecutors actually asked the judge to give SBF even more prison time, like 40 to 50 years. But defense lawyers said the sentence should not have been more than 6 years. They pointed to his charitable works and said he still had a lot to offer society. They also asked the judge to take SBF's autism into account, saying, quote, Sam Bankman-Fried does not make decisions with malice in his heart. He makes decisions with math in his head. The judge says he did take those factors into account when he recommended prison officials assign him to a medium or low security facility, ideally near his family in the San Francisco Bay Area. SBF has said he plans to appeal his conviction. The iconic Life magazine is making a comeback. This comes more than 2 decades after the century-old photo magazine stopped its regular production. But this week, supermodel Karlie Kloss and her husband, investor Josh Kushner, announced a deal to bring it back, both in print and online, through their startup, Bedford Media. They bought the production rights from a print and digital publisher, though they didn't say how much the deal was worth. Now, Bedford Media will manage the full operations for the new Life magazine, including editorial strategy, media initiatives, and more. Life was originally published in 1936, and for a long time, it featured the work of renowned photographers and top authors. In fact, Ernest Hemingway's The Old Man and the Sea first appeared in Life. Kloss says she and her husband were interested in bringing it back since, quote, we see Life as an uplifting and unifying voice in a chaotic media landscape. Bedford will begin hiring senior editorial staff soon, and it's set to resume regular publishing early next year. Punxsutawney Phil has a couple of new shadows to watch out for. America's notorious groundhog, known for being able to predict the seasons by his shadow, is now a first-time father. The Punxsutawney Groundhog Club announced Phil's mate, Punxsutawney Phyllis, gave birth to two healthy pups this week. They're now living with their mom and dad in the habitat at the Punxsutawney Memorial Library in Pennsylvania. The public can see all four groundhogs any day of the year. But of course, Phil's next big show will be on Groundhog Day, February 2nd. That's it for the main news today, so now it's time for Feel Good Friday, when we bring you one extra feel-good or positive news story before the weekend. But first, a quick break for our sponsor. I have an update for you about the newest skincare routine that I've been using, because the results just keep getting better and better. Honestly, I was getting to a point where I felt like my face was looking a bit more tired. But now that I've used OneSkin each morning and night for a few months, I can truly tell the difference. My face feels brighter, it's more hydrated, and I do feel it's making a difference in terms of visible signs of aging. And no wonder, because OneSkin's products are powered by their scientifically proven peptide called OS1. This peptide reduces the accumulation of damaged aging cells and boosts my skin's natural barrier to lock in moisture and protect against the elements. And all I have to do, cleanse and apply OneSkin's topical face and eye cream morning and night, it is so easy. And actually, I enjoy the routine. OneSkin is the world's first skin longevity company. By focusing on the cellular aspects of aging, OneSkin keeps your skin looking and acting younger for longer. Get started today with 15% off using the code newsworthy at oneskin.co. That's 15% off oneskin.co with the code newsworthy. After you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them, so please support our show and tell them we sent you. Help your skin stay younger and healthier for longer with OneSkin. Okay, now back to Feel Good Friday. A security guard at Providence College recently got the surprise of his lifetime from the students he's paid to protect. James Mogaji watches over their dorm overnight and has apparently made a big difference for them in building their community, greeting everyone with a smile and an open invitation to talk. Well, the students found out Mogaji had not been able to see his family in Nigeria for the last 11 years, and they knew they had to do something. So they started a GoFundMe and raised thousands of dollars to send him to Nigeria this June. Video posted on social media shows the students surprising Mogaji with the gift, telling them they love him and that he's part of their family. Mogaji becomes overcome with emotion, so much that he drops down to his knees and thanks the students over and over again. The donations just keep pouring in, too, so the students plan to give him the grand total at the end of the school year. If you want to watch the touching reaction to the big surprise, check out today's episode notes. We've added a link to that video. All right, we'll be back tomorrow with our special edition Saturday episode. We're talking all about one of the top issues to American voters this election season, immigration and the crisis at the southern border. Then join us again Monday for your next news roundup. For now, thank you so much for listening and have a great weekend.